I think it's important when we speak of the sacrifice here, and I'll give you a chance to be patient, to see that it was a burnt offering. Holy. What's the difference between the burnt offering and the sin offering? I'm going to say to you young people, there's books in the book room, and if you've never taken up the offerings and looked at them, you need to see the difference. The sin offering, actually, I am looking at all the despicable things that I have done, and I hear then the voice of the Lord Jesus as he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the sin offering. But you know the burnt offering, Tony mentioned to it, is the Lord Jesus and God's satisfaction with this blessed man who at all costs to himself has gone to Calvary and before you and I are ever even thought of, has brought glory to his God and Father. That's the burnt offering. That's the basis that God can approach the children of Israel on here. That's the basis that restoration comes in, that God has been glorified in what our Lord Jesus has done. And I think it's interesting. It's the sucking lamb. And it's just as that lamb was being offered, it was at that moment that God is seeing his beloved son as the one that was here for him. It's then that deliverance comes in for the people of God. So this is a wonderful thing. I want to add one other little thing for us. Brothers and sisters who are going on with the Lord, this is a wonderful occupation that we see Samuel involved in. Do I have time for this today with the other young people? This is not something that's going to make me the most popular guy or girl at Grove City. But many here need a brother or a sister, an Esther, to help them. They're not probably going to say much in a meeting like this. They need a one-on-one with somebody who has enough backbone to be able to say to them, look, I notice you're not as happy. What's going on in your life? Let's be a Samuel to those that are about us. Let's be one that helps others find that pathway of restoration. There's one other verse that I thought of as Tony was reading, and then we'll give Alex a chance here, and this is David. As he had committed a grievous sin with Bathsheba and then had taken her husband and put him in the place where he knew he would be slain. And young people, he was. He was slain. Listen to David from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. This is what was needed here. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And here especially, restore unto me. Not, young people, my salvation. You'll never lose your salvation. But oh, the joy of following Christ is quickly lost when I'm on the road of departure. How quickly the two in the way of Emmaus in Luke lost the joy as they looked at the circumstances of the day. They looked at ruin. They looked at failure. They looked at what had happened and their feet went in the wrong direction. And they were sad. And the Lord appears and he says, what manner of communications are these? As you walk and communicate with one another and are sad, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is where the Lord was bringing Israel back, and it's where he wants to bring us back to, isn't it?
First a question, and then I've got one from a sister. What does it mean by a whole suckling lamb? Seeing as I understand that they were usually cut off and the fat was burned.
Give a little thought on that in wondering similarly. But think of the people of Israel in this time and go back to Hophni and Phinehas. What did they do with the portions that were brought for sacrifice? They took for themselves. They took God's portion away from him. And I wonder if this isn't the first complete and real sacrifice in the land of Israel for some time. And here it is completely given unto God. He receives the portion that is rightfully his and that he deserves. And it is so like our Lord Jesus, again, where we see in him that he gave himself wholly to do all that the Father gave him to do. And that was accomplished when he gave his life on the cross. There was nothing held back. It cost him everything, and he completed everything that the Father gave him to do.
We have a comment. Just to follow up on that, with the offerings, we find them in the first couple chapters in Leviticus. This was a burned offering. We said that already. With the burned offering, everything was burned. If you look at Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9, I'll start with verse 8. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt offering, or a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor to the Lord. What you're referring to, I think, is probably the fellowship offering that's in chapter 3. And yeah, there we see that the fat is always what belongs to the Lord. And that's a picture of I think most people think it's a picture of the parts of the Lord Jesus, his private relationship with the Father. That was something that we don't see, you know, his private prayer relationship, for example. That was something that was directly for God. That was not outward. But then some of the other things that were given to the people to eat from the fellowship offering, like the shoulder or the strength, something from Jesus that we rely on. So that was that.